Okay. So, all right. Are we live?
We're live, man.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's
episode 51. Hey, guys. What's going on? My name's Daniel.
And I'm Yvonne.
And this is the journey to wherever. You just caught me off guard there.
I was actually going to try and do something, and then you kind of rolled into, hi, it's Daniel. And I was I couldn't do it.
Did I spoil it?
Yeah, roll the intro.
My name's Yvonne, and I'm a scientist by day and a writer by night.
And I'm Daniel. I'm a neuromuscular therapist. And I run my own practice.
And you're listening to the weekly podcast, Journey to Wherever.
Enjoy the show.
That's what I was going to do.
Oh, that's what you...
And okay. Now it's the intro. Okay, now we're back on the show. You get it?
I get it.
We're back on the show. I was thinking maybe I should try something new.
Yeah, I got it.
What's going on, everyone, for episode 51?
This feels good. Veteran status.
We're gonna ride that till we're gonna milk it. We're gonna
50,
drain it.
No,
for
51. It's got like a serious tone to it now. It's like, oh, you guys are episode 51 now.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good. How are you, my friend?
I'm trying to
see you, but you got your grenade in front of you. Sorry,
let me move that out of the way.
It's gonna. We should. You know what? We've been talking. We've been teasing lately about getting merch. That should be like one of the first things we get.
Water bottles.
Like this, just your big. This big thing that you got here, just put this big like journey to a river symbol on it.
Yeah.
I reckon that'd be pretty cool. That and some hats.
I think some merch will be good. I'm not sure what slogans we'll put on it, but I'm keen. Make today count. It's very
Today count.
Motivational.
It's very motivational.
But I'm doing all right. It was funny. I was kind of having a bio break before we pressed record on the podcast and looked in the mirror, as you do. And I noticed my forehead's a little red. I felt like I got a bit of a sunburn.
I just noticed it now. A little bit of a...
Had the spring sun kiss my forehead.
Well, you've got that... You're like your sister. You got that kind of porcelain skin. So it doesn't take much for... For you guys to get burnt, and I'm just now
nice
that you pointed it out
be burn easy.
That the light behind you is giving you a nice glow on your forehead there.
Well, I was out this afternoon maintaining the lawns, cutting the grass.
Oh, did you today?
I did.
Yeah, you know what? I did the same thing.
Did you?
In between, like after the boys' games, came home and I was like, you know, I've got an hour and a half to spare, and the grass wasn't super high. It just needed just a nip, a nice little trim.
Yeah.
And snuck out. So you snuck out as well?
I did. Well, ours was a bit later on because we, as my wife does, like...
Oh, you did like a late afternoon thing.
Well, my wife was on Facebook, right? Just flicking through.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, Yvonne, look at this.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, what's that? She goes, it's pretty good. And it was this like 2 meter long, white, heavy wooden bench, like chair.
On Facebook sales?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And it was almost like a church pew. This thing's like 2 meters long, but
like
white.
Like an outdoor thing?
Outdoor one.
Oh, nice.
And...
Because you guys are going with that nice like kind of white theme now.
We are. Everything's kind of... We want to have that like, you know, Hamptons vibe.
Hamptons vibe.
That Hamptons vibe. but she saw this and it was like, it was pretty good buy. And she's like, oh, I really like that. And I'm like, well... Get it if you want, like, you know.
Yeah.
Was it close by? Fit it in the back of the car.
Was it close by?
Half an hour drive.
That's not too bad.
And I was like, oh, how am I going to put these in? So, you know, because we've got like, you know, the four-wheel drive SUV thing, I can put all the seats down. I'm like, oh, I reckon I can probably put it in there. Because when you drop all the seats,
it pretty much turns into a ute.
It's about 2 meters deep inside, right?
It's pretty decent.
And I'm like, oh, I could probably fit that in. All right, I'll go and have a go. So I drove all the way down there.
Nice.
Put it in the back, fit it in.
You did?
Yeah, we got it because we put it around the fire pit.
Oh, nice.
You
know, the fire pit thing. Very nice, very nice.
And I'm just trying to like dress up the fire pit without doing something too dramatic.
Yeah.
Something just to kind of put the chairs around it because springtime's coming. The kids like to roast those marshmallows outside now.
It's always nice to have something to sit on, like a stool.
It's counterintuitive. A fire, you want to sit around when it's cold, right? But when it's too cold in our place, it's like too cold. You don't want to sit outside.
Yeah. Spring and autumn, the best time. So. Yeah. Even summertime, but...
So I did that, and then because you get like a nice new chair, you're like, "Well, grass is a bit too long now, isn't it?"
So time to cut that grass.
Cut the grass too. So cut the grass, got the blower out, did all that stuff, and then my wife's coming outside, and she's like, "We gotta go, we gotta go," because we had a function thing to attend to tonight, and I was like, "Oh, all right, quick, you know, jump in the shower and just notice."
Nothing's better than the post cutting grass shower. I don't know about you, but I always just have like, because you know, my legs are, you know, fairly hairy. and I get the grass clippings everywhere. Grass in it. So yeah. I look down and I'm like, geez, like how much grass is on my calves, just everywhere. So nothing better than the post grass shower. It's great.
Yeah, that was good.
Nice, nice. Well, what did I? Yeah, well, I did the same. I took the boys this morning. Did the grass. Went to my game.
Yep.
I got excited. Oh, the camera.
Can you hear the vibration?
Yeah, a little bit.
It's coming from the boom arm.
The boom arm.
When you
won a game today.
You won a game.
Oh man, I think I've been whinging on this podcast about trying to win a game against a whole bunch of 20-year-olds. It's not fun.
Finally won a game.
Finally, we've won two games, but this one was more. This one was more like. Had a bit more
blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we always, as a joke now, it's become like a running joke in the team. We'll go up to the other team and be like, oh, so who's the oldest guy on your team? And they'll be like, oh, 29.
Okay. You know,
30, 26. And we're like, oh, fuck, here we go again. So today,
what's the oldest in your team?
Our goalkeeper's, I think he's like in his mid 40s.
Okay.
But then we've got a few guys that are like 41, 42, and then it's like heavy between 35 and 40.
Yeah.
And then it slowly trickles down, We've got two random 18-year-olds in our team. I don't know how that happened. They bring our average age down, which is good. But just today felt good. I was like, yes, we finally got it. We got a win.
Congrats on the win.
Well, not only just that, and this is going to sound very like, oh, you know, but I've never actually come last. On the ladder in a soccer competition ever.
You find that difficult this season.
Yes,
right?
My pride's a little bit, just a little tarnished. Bit bruised. And I'm like, we're just chatting. I thought for some reason we were like at least third last, but we're all equal last at the moment.
On the competition ladder.
I was just like, I just didn't sit right with me. I'm just like, I've made finals plenty of times, mid table plenty of times, but I've never. Come last. And I just went, fuck it, I am not coming last this year. This is not a year to come last.
Yeah.
And we all did this big, you know, pump up speech. And then everyone just like, we won the game. And it was, just, yeah, it was good.
We are the champions.
Well, I don't know if we're the champions. Champions are not coming last.
I was impressed by it. Last time when I went to watch you play, you just come out with like the little six-pack holder thing of Gatorade bottles and everything. You're like equipped.
We get equipped.
You got like these little mad side taped out area, like, where you're like all sitting like the box thing area.
Yeah, it's good. It's good fun. It's good, you know.
It's like
you got to do it. But we're hanging to get it, just the majority of the team just that little bit older so we can play over 35s.
Yeah.
So we kind of feel within our, you know, playing amongst our age group.
So how many games you got left?
Three.
Okay.
Three more and that's it.
Mate, anything can happen.
You know, as in what? Not coming last.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no. Hopefully. Yeah, definitely.
Good on you.
But, yeah. Anyways, how was your week?
I just got a mad mental blank. I don't know. It was all right. It was...
Not too bad?
Not too crazy compared to previous weeks. But, you know, it's been 2 weeks now since we came back from our trip.
Oh, yes, of course.
2 weeks. Wink.
Wink.
You know, last weekend. You know, by the timing of the show. That was a really good getaway.
It makes such a difference, man.
It does, man. It's 100%. It's good. Can't leave it too long this time.
No.
But yeah, no, it's been good. And then, yeah, just ready to kind of kick off, get into the next show. I was excited to do it, even though it's like a late one on a middle of a weekend at a night time. But
as
you know,
say, the show must go on.
So, I think we'll dive in. But one of the things I was thinking, because you were just mentioning about, you know, not wanting to be on, say, the bottom, like, you know, coming last.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, okay. You're very competitive, which I like. There's no giving up, you know?
No.
You fight to the end.
Or to the end.
To the end.
Die by the sword.
You gotta fight
to
the end.
I must enter Valhalla.
Yeah, you gotta, mate. You can't, you know? Otherwise, Odin will cast people down. Yeah. But look, you've got to kind of fight to the end, and sometimes you win some, and sometimes you lose some.
Yeah.
But one thing that was... I think this will play. I think what I'm about to tell you will play off well off the back of the, because we did say we were going to do a part two of the cancel culture.
Yes.
That was a pretty popular episode.
Yes,
it was a good episode, and we're going to kind of do a part two after we gauge some kind of conversations on the interwebs, right?
Yeah.
So I reached out, jammed with a few people online, gauged a few thoughts, and then it all tied up really well with this story I'm about to tell you.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. So, and I don't think anyone in my team is in my own team, the players themselves listen to the podcast. And if you are listening to the podcast, you shouldn't listen to the podcast because it's...
Because it's you're too young to listen to the podcast.
But, and I don't think of any of the parents...
I don't think they do. Either. But it doesn't matter.
Well, there's one colleague of mine within the soccer realm that does.
Yeah.
He's,
shout out to him.
Shout out to him. He's become you know who you are. He's become a good... JTW fam member. However,
join the family.
We smashed the other team. It was 4-0.
Okay.
It was a monster of a win.
Yeah.
We've got a really good team. And I'm not just saying that.
No, no, you do. Because I've come watch you guys play. You got a good team.
They just play really well to their credit.
Yeah.
And this is not a sports podcast. I'm not into sports a lot, but yeah. I just like the craft of looking at things. Analyzing it, looking at the strategy and seeing how we can do it. And I like the whole team thing and picking them up. And sometimes you see the kids get a few challenges. They might shed a tear and you're like, well, how am I going to navigate this one?
Yeah.
I've got to pick them back up and I've got to kind of, you know,
uh-huh.
get them into the frame of mind. But the team works so well. They smash it. They play together so well. Their strategy's good. Their footwork's improved heaps. They pass well. Everything's good. I can't floor them, right? Yeah. Every game's a good one. So we won 4-0 and
which is fucking solid
beat
win.
The other team. That's yeah. what I'm going to say. Right? We're going to mention the team. We're packing up the field.
Yeah.
And get approached by a member of the club holding a card. And they're like, excuse me, you forfeited. I was like, what do you mean you forfeited? Well, you forfeited. He's like, you didn't fill out your match card. And I was like,
oh my God.
What do you mean we fill out my match card? Like, we didn't have a ref at the first part of at the start of the game. We were out there chasing a ref for the match because you didn't have a ref.
Yeah.
And now you're telling me, he goes, well, you got to fill it out and give it back to the start at the start of the game. I was like, well, usually the ref kind of takes the card and
does all that
and does all that stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what we've done every single game. But yeah. we didn't have a ref. We yeah. had to use one of the players' parents on the team yeah. to do the refing.
Do it for refereeing.
Oh, sorry, man. It's the rules of the match. And I was like, well, of course the other team's going to fucking say that, aren't they? Because they lost 4-0. And, you know, we were packing up the field as well, packing it all up.
It kind of just rubbed salt into the wound.
It kind of was annoying. But yeah. I mean, I totally understand. The rules are the rules. We wear it on the chin.
Yeah.
I have to say that.
You got to
are the rules. However,
you got to paint a bit of context, though. Like you said, like...
It's really non-competition
because
to start with.
It's under nines, right?
It's under nines.
So I think up until a certain age, I think maybe under 11s,
under
I think 12s, it is.
Under 12s. So 12 and up is
so they essentially play every week. It's actually like, if they win, they win. They lose, they lose. But it doesn't go into like...
It doesn't go to like end, this is the winning team at the end. Yeah, it's literally, we've got our last game next weekend and yeah, that's it.
That's it.
So literally the team on the other side walks up and they're like, hey, we are... We wanted them disqualified because they didn't fill out the card.
Which is
meanwhile,
just awful.
Y'all probably had the card the whole time. That's why you passed the blank card.
That's the thing.
You could have at least walked over and gone, hey guys, just a friendly heads up.
Yeah.
You got a blank card here. Do you want to fill it in?
Yeah. Look, it's poor form. Like you said, you could very easy.
But all I got to say is, how does that nil feel? How does that zero feel?
That zero. Well, I'll tell you how that zero
my
feels.
My competitive side comes out.
That zero feels nasty. And they go up to the club president and go, the other team didn't fill out the, what did you call it?
Match card. You put the player's name.
It's so easy to just go, hey guys, you didn't fill out your match card. Do you want to just do it now quickly before the game starts? And you'd be
which
like,
we've
oh, yeah,
done
sure.
with the other team. We've talked about
it's,
it. Have you got the card?
It's five seconds.
And we'll talk
seconds.
Between each other. That's what you do when it's a young kid's game.
Look, I'm all for potentially pulling the president up if...
I don't know if it was a president. It was someone in the club.
Or whatever. But
some
let's just say,
person.
I'm all for potentially pulling the president up and going, hey, we've played this team before. I don't recognize those two players in the team. Like, maybe let's just say you got like two randoms off the street or like,
yeah.
and they're not registered players and yeah. you just kind of put a jersey on them and they just kind of helped you guys out. If that was the case, two non-registered players, even then I would be like, who cares? But you can kind of be like...
That's pushing the boundaries of soccer rules.
Because if they're not registered to your team and there might be a better quality player, yeah. it's an unfair advantage. But not filling out a freaking match card?
I don't know.
Come on. What is?
Because they would have had the card too.
What's
and they've gone and handed in at the end. So they've had the card. They didn't even pass it to us.
It's this like you know, this dibby-dobber type mentality.
And this card is the one that the ref puts in the pocket.
Yeah, yeah.
And they write the scores down. And yeah. They get, I think they write, I don't know how
they
it
write,
works,
they
man.
Write, they write the score down.
I think so, something.
And
but
they,
anyway.
They generally write down, not that you guys would because under nines, they write down yellow cards and red cards and stuff like that.
Something like that. So anyway, the other team yous can take the win, but we won.
No. Just...
We got that. We our team won. That's all I got to say. But anyway, so that kind of, you know, I don't want to go on a mad rant because I like
but
to
you
be
can.
I like to be kind to people.
Yeah.
But that kind of whinging ass mentality doesn't do any favors for no one.
Doesn't do any favors for no one.
Because they're going to go away to their team and be like, hey, guys, we actually won after all. And the kids are going to be like, well, we didn't score any. It's like, yeah, but you still won. It's like, okay, you tell yourself that.
I know we talk a lot in previous episodes about, like, you know, 8th place ribbons. And I don't think this is necessarily an 8th place ribbon. I think this is just
50th place ribbon.
This is more a, like, it's just like an, it's like, just like a hollow
it's
feeling.
It's bad sportsmanship.
It's bad sportsmanship. Like, who gives a shit if you didn't fill out the freaking card? No.
It's just, it's, I can't, I find it
I can't deal with
to,
that shit.
Deal
I really
with such
can't.
Micro detail. It's literally like, oh, card, fill it out. Yep, great. No worries. Move on.
Like, today was a good example, right? The reason why it felt even more like our win felt more solid is because we've got our injury list is huge, okay? Including myself. I played my knee's not feeling the greatest, but I still played. And we were very lucky that the game before us were the two, like, were from the same club as us.
Yeah.
And the team that we were playing against, their team was playing before them as well. So it's like an identical match, but they were just in a division below us.
Yeah.
So we just kind of went to the ref and they went to the ref, which for whatever reason, you're not allowed to do now, whereas before you used to be able to. Went to the ref and say, look, they had 10 players, their other team. We had 9 players. They needed to borrow. They needed one more player. We needed two more players to make it an even 11v11.
Yeah.
So we said, ref, Can we borrow some of the guys from our club? They're just playing it. It's in our club, not in our team, for a different division.
Yeah.
Can we borrow them? And the ref was like, yeah, sure, no worries. You know what I mean? Rather than just make it this really random 10 versus 9 game. So we went up to the team. They went up to the other team went up to their other team as well. And
so
you
both grabbed a player from the
other
side.
Yeah, we grabbed a player. You
both
know?
Both teams.
From both teams. Yeah, well, they borrowed one. We borrowed two. And it was good. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there was none of this like, oh, no, you shouldn't do that. It's not against the rules. Like, fuck's sake, man.
We're not playing for $50 million contracts here. We're playing a Saturday soccer game in the morning.
Jeez. You know, it's just literally a bunch of dads running around. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's poor form. It's poor form.
Anyway,
don't
so
do it
that team tried to cancel us today. So yeah. On the back of the cancel culture, whatever. I'm trying to be kind, but you know, you can probably sense my frustration.
I feel
anyway,
you,
so off the back of the last that last cancel culture episode, I went on to various forms of social media, engaged into some conversations, and tried to see what people's thoughts were around various different topics that kind of feed into the whole vibe at the moment. Because I was saying, look, I think we're kind of in this interesting time where I'm a little bit worried about mankind at the moment.
Yes.
And I put out a small poll and I basically asked the question, are you afraid of the current state of the world?
That's
And what is your biggest concern?
Fairly big blanket term, but yeah.
83% of people said yes, they're afraid of the
I'm
current state
surprised.
Of the world.
Surprised.
With 17% saying no. So, and one of the biggest concerns was, you know, will we actually find a cure to this whole, you know, illness that's going around at the moment? Can't say the word.
I didn't say it. Cancelled.
So that was one of the biggest ones. And the response to that was, look, you know, I actually personally don't think a cure will ever be found. And
no.
I'm saying that from a scientific point of view as well.
I would agree with
you.
I
know there's vaccines and stuff being put together. There's kind of this massive fight at the moment between various companies to try and get a vaccine out there.
Things take just a little bit longer than what they're making it out to be,
yeah.
Just in general.
Yeah, so that didn't surprise me that was one of the...
concerns.
One of the biggest things,
yeah.
You know, that people first kind of were a little bit worried about. And
what about the other bit, like saying the wrong things without intending to offend, but the intent was misinterpreted?
That was another thing. So I'm just kind of going through. So one of the things was, well, it was interesting because I actually engaged in a conversation with one guy on Twitter.
Yeah.
And he had a tweet around cancel culture. I think he did like a video on it or something.
Yeah.
And then I was making comments back and forth and I went to go back on the comments and his video had been taken down.
Mm.
It had been hashtag cancelled.
It had because been
somebody hashtag reported, nuked. Somebody boom. Reported against his video and made it kick to stink because he was basically doing a cancel culture video. And I was like, this whole thing legit is real.
Let's break down just the psychology of just that action. You're on Twitter, Instagram, wherever it is that you're floating around in the social universe. Like, to actually physically make the decision to click on someone's post or video or whatever and say that it's, what's the tag? Is it disturbing or they don't like it?
Something like that,
something like that. So they click this little button that says, I don't like this video.
Inappropriate content.
Inappropriate content. Kind of thing. And someone from, the back end of Twitter or Instagram overviews it and then kind of essentially just goes, yes, I agree with Mr. and Mrs. Anonymous, and I'm going to take this down. I'm like, what the fuck?
Hashtag free speech. The video wasn't not very even offensive. Free, though. It was literally a comedic video comparing two views. It was like, it was a funny video. Anyway, offended. So they had cancer, but there was other stories, like I told you, where there was people who had given a certain opinion online. Someone had tracked down who they worked for, contacted the person's employer.
Yeah.
The person ended up losing their job over it. And it wasn't even like a bad thing. It was more just like, oh, well, you got to control what you kind of say out there.
Yeah.
Which if you're going out there and you're blatantly saying offensive things to people to try and hurt people and,
you get what comes your way.
You get what comes your way. You shouldn't be doing that. But I 100%. Think it's okay to share your opinion,
Yeah.
So there was a lot. I mean, there was another one was, one person made the comment around, one of the things this was a tweet I was actually engaging with. They were basically saying that they feel one of the saddest aspects today is just the whole having to have the whole phrase of, can I say that?
Yeah.
Before you say everything or after you say something, can just I say over, that? Am I allowed to say that? Is that okay? Should I say that?
It's a classic overthinking, which you can potentially make it worse too.
Yeah. Or am I okay to say that? Yeah. And I responded like, yeah, I know. I totally agree. The constant feeling like we're walking on verbal eggshells, which I think was a good way you kind of put it.
Yeah.
Wondering what words can offend people is the real issue today. They need to make everyone feel the same so no one is offended means everyone is offended.
Yes.
Yeah. 2020 is an interesting year.
Yeah.
And it's not even like other people's censorship. It's just self-censorship now. You're almost censoring yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the things.
Which another is just person, ruining the art of conversation as well.
It is. Just having meaningful...
It's red tape on conversation.
Conversations where you can debate something back and forth, which will allow people to think things through.
Yeah.
Question the views that they actually have.
Yeah.
And then potentially change them for the good. But if you cancel your conversation, you say, no, you can't say that. Well, no one ever gets an opportunity to grow. You bottle it up and then people just hold it on the inside. Exactly. And probably feel it anyway.
Well, whatever happened to the good old... I know this is very bland, but whatever to the good old agree to disagree? Just doesn't not exist anymore.
Well, I like to use that.
I like to use it. I use it all the time.
Yeah, if I'm in a debate with someone or, conversation like, it's wrong, it's not right. I'm like, look, let's just agree to disagree.
And it's like, just know it's not going anywhere. Just this back and forth brick wall. It's like, look, dude, you got your opinion. I've got mine. I respect it. And that's it. But this is constant pushing your own agenda to a point where people get cancelled.
Yeah.
And that's the only way people win is not to debate or to talk about it in a sense, in a civil manner. It's like, nah, you know what? I didn't like the way that person spoke. I'm just going to cancel them.
Yeah.
It's just like going back to your, the soccer thing. It's just like, why can't we just hash it out now?
Yeah.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
How did I offend you? Okay, fair enough. I didn't you know what? Shit, dude. Give the person the opportunity to apologize.
Yeah.
And if they maybe don't want to apologize because they're pig-headed or whatever, then okay, we'll kick it off again. But give people the opportunity to just go, oh yeah, fuck. Yeah, I stuffed up on that. I shouldn't have said it that way. I didn't mean it this way, et cetera, et cetera. You know?
That's right. And because the example today, it was no one's fault. Really, it was just the turn of events was we didn't actually have a ref. There was no one to take the card, share the card around. We had played a good game. At the end, we were all packing up, so, we couldn't even discuss working out what was happening with the card or anything anyway. I think the fact that we actually won and people were just kind of sour about it made them want to go around.
They definitely wouldn't have approached that club member if they had one, put it that way.
It's just silly. Another person says, cancel culture is stupid and I don't agree with it.
Okay. I know where you're coming from.
So I totally agree on that one. You know, what was the other ones? I spoke about that one. Lack of understanding.
Yeah.
I feel change as we see it really has always been the person's potential, but due to lack of understanding how human psyche and behavior, we're still powerless to really grasp anything about ourselves as well as others. That's a good point. Like,
deep.
It's deep because, and this particular individual is quite deep in how they think as well. I mean, I think a lot of people spend so much time worrying about other people so much and what other people are going to think, say, and feel all the time.
Mm.
But you're not actually paying enough attention to your own self. I think people really need to start worrying about themselves and their own attitudes before they start.
Check yourself first. Look yourself in the mirror first.
I think because...
Care for yourself first as well.
And that's that whole thing. I mean, I'm sure different religions have different sort of stories for the same sort of thing. But that whole, you know, cast the first stone.
Yeah.
Like you can't, you know, who are we to say, or who's someone to say that another person's so bad or their opinions so bad, their views so bad, if you can't check your own?
Yeah.
And you've never done it because no one's perfect. Like, you know, I've said things I'm probably not happy that I've ever said.
Oh, I'm sure I've said something stupid before. Yeah. 100%.
You know?
I've put my foot in my mouth many times.
Yeah.
But I'm much better at these days to just quickly, like, damage control it. You just got to be aware. I think people's egos get into place when they realize they've said something wrong, but for whatever reason, something's stopping them from going, oh, I should apologize, or I should at least explain myself. They just kind of, in a bravado sense, they stand by it.
Yeah.
Like we were chatting a couple of episodes ago about the whole believing and standing by these old ideologies that you might have developed in your early 20s or whatever, and then all of a sudden you're kind of sticking with it even though it doesn't grasp onto any way or form of which the way you think in today.
Hmm.
You know, I think people just don't own it as much as well.
So look, I think that was like a brief wrap up to the whole cancel culture episode. I think after I had kind of talked about it a little bit in that particular show, I personally, because I like to be so optimistic, right?
Yeah.
After I have a conversation about something, and I tend to go from 0 to 100, after it, I kind of have this old letdown feeling. It's almost like a built-in anticlimax off the back of something.
Explain yourself.
Nothing to do with the show or the conversation. It's more me. It's not you, it's me. Okay. Because I'll go on like a massive rant about something. And then after it, I'm like...
Do you feel bad about the rant?
It's not that I feel bad about the rant.
Like remorseful?
Not really. I mean, sometimes remorse comes in and then I'm like, oh...
That's just because you're a nice person. Someone?
I'm like, no, fuck that. Like, who cares? You know? No, but it's more about like... I don't like to.
You're compassionate. Myself, you're a compassionate man.
Yeah, but also for myself, I don't like to drag on the same thing for a long time because then I just feel crappy about it, and I like to move on from a bad topic quick because I dwell on things. Okay. I don't want to dwell on it. Sorry.
Okay.
And then I'm like,
Do you find that you used to do that like a lot?
No, because I get passionate about it, and then I start to look around, and I start to see trends on Twitter, and I'm like, man, the world's on fire. It's in turmoil. Like, the whole thing's bad. We're all doomed, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, hold on a second. Are we really doomed?
Settle down.
Settle down, you know? So, rewind. I thought, eh?
It's like, rewind.
Yeah. So, I thought, look, I'd touch on that, wrap that part up.
Yeah.
But then it kind of plays into this next thing where, you know, I'm not going to put the other team down, even though they lost and then had a whinge. But should people just toughen up a little more?
Fuck yes, they should.
Should people get a thicker skin?
Yes.
Should people not whinge so much and just like forget all the political hashtag conversations, topics, this and that, but should we just develop a little bit more resilience?
Yeah.
Is resilience underplayed and underrated today?
Yes.
Because we've spoken about patience.
Mm-hmm.
We've spoken about kindness.
Mm-hmm. Humility.
Humility. And hopefully that's the kind of message we're portraying in the show.
I think we consistently portray that message.
But Are human beings as a species just getting a little soft?
We're getting soft, I would agree. I think we're always trying to find a way out of things, but not the right way out. There's like loopholes, so to speak. Yeah. There's loopholes in everything now. There's just like, you know, every time I don't know about you, but every time I think of the word loophole, you know, the cartoon of like, you know, like, I don't know if it's Bugs Bunny or I can't remember who it is. Like they're out in the middle of the ocean in a dinghy,
and the
water spout comes. There's like a hole,
yeah, exactly.
And they put their finger on one, and another one comes up, and it's like never ending. Like it doesn't matter how many times you try to unplug, there's always going to be a loophole somehow.
That's life.
That's life, but there's a way to address it. Okay, like. And this all kind of ties in with like I think a lot of it's got to do with self-discipline as well. It's like there's the discipline the lack of discipline, I should say, is what's causing people to go, oh fuck it, I'm gonna get that team forfeited. It's like, nah, maybe you should take the lesson, because them not filling out a car has got nothing to do with you getting your ass whipped for zip.
Yeah.
It's because as a team, maybe you're just not as good as that person, as that team. Or maybe on the day, you know your team's better than that team, but you just weren't on it. So maybe at training, we get the discipline going, we implement some tactics so that next week, we get better.
Exactly.
That's where everything in shit is missing left, right, and center.
Yeah.
Last week, I was invited to go to do like this... this gym had like a reopening of some sorts, and it was like a whole bunch of like mixture of PTs, Pilates instructors, yoga instructors, like just a whole mixture of people. And we just kind of just did a bit of a talk, blah, blah, blah. And then at the end, there was like this kind of Q&A.
Yeah.
And it kind of revolved around...
Was this like a professionals meeting?
It was more like,
or was it even for club? For it was open
more.
Members?
It was a mix of like physios and exercise physiologists and myself there.
Okay.
And then it was the students or the people that were attending
club members and stuff like
okay, that. But so it was club members that are Pilates instructors, PTs and stuff. So we're kind of like doing a presentation for them and whatnot. Which it was good. It was a nice back and forth. But then at the end, which I am kind of starting to like a bit more now. The person that put together the whole presentation did this kind of like last 10 minutes kind of Q&A,
like a panel Q&A.
Q&A type thing. Good. I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, it's different. I've never done it before personally. And I started to see this pattern.
Yeah.
The questions that were coming. It was kind of like, you know, because they ask you like, oh, how long have you been in business for? And I'm like, oh, you know, close to 15 years now. And they go, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. And they start asking all these questions. Like, I started to notice the whole like hacks. Everyone wanted to know a hack.
Yeah.
Everyone wanted to know a way to get somewhere before getting to there.
Yeah.
Everyone wanted to know, how do I do this without having to do this? How do I study this without, but do I need to do this aspect if I don't need to do, if I don't, to, in order to get here? Mm. What kind of prerequisites do I need to do? It was like a lot of that kind of stuff.
Mm.
And don't get me wrong, they're not bad questions, but when you start to see the theme building up of like, fuckers, you guys just want to just take shortcuts.
Yeah.
Whatever fucking happened about just doing the fucking damn work?
Yeah.
Just do the fucking work, man. Like, it's like, oh, what are your secrets to, you know, keeping your business successful 15 years? It's like...
Well, I can't tell you that because it's a secret.
Well, it's
so if
well,
you want, no, you can just spend 15 years finding it out.
No, I was just saying to them, I said to them, look, there's no rules. Like, it's going to sound very cliche, like, oh, there's no secret. There isn't no secret. It's just fucking work.
Yeah. Did you put it out?
Yeah, I said it that way. I said, just fucking work. There's just like, it's almost like my mentality personally. With discipline, and I was listening to I'm not sure if you've listened, Mike Tyson was recently on the Joe Rogan
haven't heard that one yet.
Awesome. If you ever get to listen to it. Okay. Right. And Mike, I wish I could remember the quote he said, but it was something along the lines of, and I might butcher it, it was something along the lines of, discipline is like doing something that you don't love constantly over and over again to a point where you actually end up loving it.
Yeah.
Something along those lines.
I think I've heard something along that
line
before.
And he says it, you know, in his Mike Tyson way. And I was like, yes, that's exactly what it is. Discipline is a tough word, but discipline is something that nobody likes doing.
Yeah.
Discipline to, you know, waking up early in the morning or going on your lunch break to the gym, going for a run, putting that extra, you know, 2 or 3 hours at night to do your work or whatever it is, that requires discipline.
Yeah.
Okay. And you got to almost do it so repetitively, so many times, that eventually your body does this like reverse psychology thing, and you end up loving the actual disciplinary task yeah. that you're doing.
Yeah.
And I just got a little bit concerned because I guess in the room it was the average age of, I'd say, 21 to 25.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting like a little bit antsy, but I didn't want to go, motherfuckers, you guys are going to do... I was just kind of like part of the panel, you know, like listening. Yeah, okay. And then when it came to me, I was trying to be very, you know, like nice about it. But then one girl asked me that kind of question, and then I said the whole, you just got to work.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, yeah, you have to do it. And I said, no, like you got to, like there's no, to get to 15 years of business, it's not, oh, let's do 7 and then you get to, no, it's 15 years.
Yeah.
That's how long it takes.
Yes.
You want to be a good PT, a good Pilates instructor, you got 10 studios. If it took 10 years, it takes 10 years.
Yeah.
That's it. You know what I mean? And a lot of it comes down to that whole just people just finding hacks, trying to find their way out of like doing the actual work. I think people are just fucking soft.
I think they're definitely softer.
Yeah.
I definitely agree.
Yeah. Sorry, I went on a bit of a rant then. But yeah.
No, it was a good point. And I think if an opinion like that on a panel these days is refreshing.
Yeah.
Because there comes a time where you kind of sit on it, when you sit around, you hear people talk, everyone kind of treads on eggshells, like we said before. And yeah. It's like, oh, I don't want to offend the audience, or I don't... But you're actually doing them a disservice, not telling them the truth.
The truth, that's
and
right.
And for once, when that's you finally step up,
yeah.
You actually earn your spot and you deliver the message that someone on a professional panel should, which is, look, guys, I'm not gonna tell you something you don't want to hear. You guys have invested your time
yeah.
to sit here and listen to a panel.
Yeah.
You could have paid for it, I don't know. But whatever it is, it's your time sitting here. So I'm either gonna tell you something that's truthful
mm-hmm.
and make it valuable for you.
Yeah.
Or I'm gonna tell you something that's gonna make you feel good, fluff it up, and send you on your way.
See, that's ultimately what they want, right?
I know, but make people uncomfortable and tell them the truth. And the ones that really deserve to get the win or deserve to get the good outcome, and they're actually going to put in the effort, but they need that extra little nudge or kick or reality check,
yeah.
They'll take it. They'll hear it. It might be 1, 2, 3 in the room, and you'll get it.
And the rest just won't.
And the rest just won't, but they probably won't anyway.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because the demographic or the age group, rather, that you said was on that,
yeah.
in that group.
So I kept that in mind too.
It's true, yeah. But it's one of the reasons why I think that's quite... I'm not surprised by it, is because the generation, I sound old now, we've had old, you know.
We've had this conversation in a sense before, but yeah.
But it's, but I mean, I'm on tech, like I live with my phone all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But, oh, they're still going. I have to work out what this is, it's bizarre. Anyway.
Yeah.
But I'm on tech all the time, right?
Yeah.
But I was born with like, into an era where I had like, a Sega or a Game Boy, and you disconnect. We didn't have the internet as it is now, right? I watched the internet start to come to fruition and start to become mainstream yeah. as it was released.
Yeah.
But now, when you're born into the world where everything is connected, you're literally being watched as you're a baby on a baby monitor, mm-hmm. streamed to your parents' room so that they can keep an eye on you in real time.
Yeah.
And then you've got a mat that lays under you that if you roll the wrong way or don't move enough, the mat vibrates and sends a message to your parents' phone to say that
the heart's not beating moving. Right or whatever. Yeah.
And then as you get up a little bit older, you've got a new watch that sits on your wrist that you can play games with and connect to your friends.
Yeah.
And then you've also got an iPad, and then you've also got a computer and you're playing online. And when you come home from school, you don't have to wait on queue for the phone or write a letter. You literally put your headset on and you game and talk to them in real time.
Yeah.
Their world is so connected. It is so fast. They literally don't have to wait. And when they go and look at the screen and they swipe and it takes 2 seconds instead of one, they get frustrated.
It's built around convenience as well.
It's the way it is now, though.
Yeah,
which,
I know.
Which speaks to why I'm not surprised that everyone's still looking for that shortcut. Because... real life, and I've had to learn this.
Yeah.
And everyone will still have to learn this because it's the one thing that stands the test of time.
Yeah.
Is things, the real things, good things, valuable things that have a lasting meaning. that have a true impact, that have a profound effect, that leave a legacy, that impact one person's life, or it can be something as changing a day for someone in that moment, and they might even forget about the next day, but it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Those type of situations that lead up to all of that, it takes time.
Physical, that you just said it there. Like, it's not, people don't understand the time aspect. It's literally second for second, minute for minute,
hour for hour.
And so on. There's just no... That's right.
You can't shortcut cooking an egg. There's no shortcut. It takes 10 minutes or 8 minutes, if depending on how you like your egg, to boil the egg.
That's it.
You can't shake it quicker to make it cook better. Like,
but there's
it takes time. Yeah. And if you're willing to wait that time, you're going to get a good egg.
Exactly.
You know?
It's so true. It's so true. And look, we often in this podcast talk about, you know, and we're going to talk about it more and more as the season goes on, but like lawns and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That shit takes a long time too. You know what I mean? Fertilizing, cutting, you know, pruning and doing all that kind of stuff. Like, I hate when you've seen those, like, those ads, you're like, make your lawn green now, and they get this like green spray.
Yeah.
It's, I'm like, green. What the fuck? Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, no, that's just dirt underneath there. You just spray painted your lawn green. It's like, do you know what I mean? It's like, there's a lot. I get it. There's all that stuff because people don't have time or whatever it is. Like, I get it. But it's like, it's concerning. It really is concerning. And, and like you said, it's all built around convenience now. Like, the whole, everything's just interconnected. And you know what? I make use of it as well. We both do. It's all great. And you know, we do this podcast using those that kind of stuff.
Using tech.
You know, if we're...
We make the podcast using tech, but for 51 episodes now, we're literally talking to each other back and forth with no greater expectation of world domination.
No.
It's just literally...
Just chipping away.
Who's listening this week?
Yeah.
Oh, I know that specific listener. We're engaging. Thanks for listening to the show. Yeah. And rinsing and repeating it for 52 straight episodes.
That's right.
And that's not to boast. It's just to give an example of time.
Yeah.
One thing that's interesting is because, you know, I'm trying to go to the gym, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not trying, I'm going to the gym. Yeah. But it's a slow process so far.
Yeah.
But...
And I said to you, that's the best way to do it.
Yeah. It's taking its time. But
you're not putting the body in shock.
As I'm appreciating... That's true. As I'm appreciating the time it's actually taking now, I'm actually learning to enjoy...
The process
of crafting it. And now I appreciate, for example, what physique competitors go through.
Yeah.
Bodybuilders go through. When you look at their time that they've spent, it's like that's 15 years to craft the body they've got.
The shit's not overnight.
And it's not like you inject a bunch of steroids, go to the gym a few times a week, and then 1 year later you're like ready for the show. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
It's constant cycles of on season, off season,
diet,
bulk up, cut back, bulk back up, cut back,
mm-hmm.
bulk back up, cut back, eat at this time, don't change this, sleep now. It's this constant.
It's a micromanagement of your body.
It's just constant micromanagement, but it takes so much time.
Yeah.
But at the end of it, it's like, that's how you get to something that's great. And it could be a person's, it could be a degree. It could be, you know, building a house. Like, if you were able to go and buy a house and someone goes, all right, we're going to build you a house. You go, all right, well, it should be ready by 7 a.m. tomorrow.
Yeah.
It'd be like, oh, okay. Do I just arrive tomorrow and she's built for me?
Yeah.
You get into it and you're like, well, that was quick. Like, I don't really, it doesn't feel real because like, oh, we're here now. Oh, well, I don't know if I like it anymore. Like, it was too quick.
That's it. You painted a perfect analogy.
Things need time.
It needs nurture.
Life needs foreplay. It needs the build-up of excitement so that you can...
Well, it's like a good solid relationship too, though.
It's true. It takes time. You date. You get to know each other. You stay friends. You tease each other with messages. You have phone calls. You go out. You don't see each other for a couple of days. You yearn to see them next again.
Yeah.
You go out and you do it over and over and over again.
Rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat.
Rinse, repeat until eventually you're like,
I
want to marry this person.
Yeah. Like, or this person's crazy. I do not want to marry this person. One or the other.
But time is one of the only things that will give you the freedom to milk, explore, extract, learn from, develop in, whatever it is that you want.
It's the
only thing that can give you that the only trade-off that you have that really gets you to extract as much as you can, put in as much as you can for whatever it is you want, is time.
That's it.
Nothing else.
No, that I couldn't money have painted can't, any perfect.
Words can't. Shortcuts can't. It literally is time that will give you that opportunity.
Yeah. It's funny. I've also like, and to be, and this is not to pick on that 20 to 21, 21 to 25 age group, because I've also had conversations in, like, not so much a Q&A type of panel situation, but like those kind of network meetings. And you have professionals there as well. And I wasn't necessarily being asked the question. I was kind of amongst, you know, kind of, I guess, eavesdropping in the conversation, where someone was a professional in a certain industry for a very long time. They decided to do a career change.
Yeah.
But because of a lot of different factors, age, financials, all that kind of stuff, they want to fast track. They want to get to that bit there. And before I could go, oh, should I say something? Should I not? And one of the guys that was being asked a question, he was just like, nah, man, you're a rookie.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, I know, but I've got this No. You've got this experience in this field.
Yeah.
It's got nothing to do with this field over here. You're just a 45-year-old rookie now.
Yeah.
And his face was just like, but.
It's like, yeah, but I'm accomplished.
But I'm accomplished. Like, no. You are accomplished in that, but you've just stepped out of that.
Yeah.
You know, it's very much like when Michael Jordan decided to go from basketball to baseball. He's a good athlete.
Yeah.
He picked it up very well.
Yeah.
But he wasn't the Michael Jordan of baseball. He was just a baseball player. He was a rookie. You know what I mean? And credit to Michael Jordan for doing that, because, you know, not many people would do that, especially with the ego and all that. But this guy was like, yeah, nah, but. And the guy was like, yeah, nah, you're a rookie. That is it. Like, you start over again. And it's like, to be fair to the 21 to 25 years, I think there's a lot of people as well that kind of just were like, oh, I need to fast track this. There's got to be a way. It's like, there's no way. It's time. That's it.
Yeah.
But no, nothing else.
No, I agree.
You want to see this plant grow? You got to put it on shower mode on your hose nozzle and sit there for 30 seconds a day. If that's what it requires, that's what it is. Yeah, you know?
That's right. And let the sun feed it. Like, just take its time.
Yeah.
It's interesting because, like, I mean, I don't knock the 20 to 25 year 21 to 25 year olds.
Yeah,
because easy, between it's 21 easy to do. And 25 is 4 to 5 years of time.
Yeah.
Where lessons get learnt.
That's right.
And then when 25 to 35 is 10 more years of time where lessons get learnt. And we've all been there.
Yeah.
I've never been that age as well. The process of growing.
Yeah, I was there at that age as well.
Yeah.
Thinking the same way.
I often talk back about, you know, reflect back on when I was like 21, a very different person.
Yeah.
But no, it's a good point. But to me, like, I don't know, like, do you find it exciting being a rookie and being on the bottom again?
Sometimes, yeah. Like, depending on what it is. But yeah, I like the whole, okay, this is different.
It's I like it.
I like the challenge. If you'd asked me that question, maybe even in my mid to late 20s, I'd be like, I don't know. But now it kind of excites me
It takes some humbleness and humility to do
it. Yeah.
But there's something about being the back at square one.
Where you
literally go, like, I know nothing.
I don't know, diddly squat.
Like, I am just, and having to be humbled by someone who's like a lot younger, a lot more inexperienced in other aspects of life compared to you.
Yeah.
That you might be experiencing.
Uh-huh.
But actually teaching you things where you're like, respect. Like,
yeah.
All right. I like this. You're 19, 20, 21. And you're telling me all this stuff. Like, how'd you learn this? I've been practicing since I was 14. Yeah, all right, respect. Okay. This is new.
Yeah.
It's time.
That's like, it.
Everybody's got something to deliver. And I always bounce back to like the whole martial art thing. But when you're...
martial arts is a perfect example.
It's a perfect example because there's certain ranks and belts and stuff
like that. You're not going to go into a dojo and then just all of a sudden be like a black belt.
No, you don't. A legitimate black belt.
That's right.
Time, and I've walked out of repetition. One school where I've been, say, a black belt in Taekwondo.
Yeah.
And then I've walked out and gone to like a kung fu school
and
literally put on a white belt brand all over again.
Yeah.
And they go, right, we're going to practice a jab cross. And I'm like,
okay,
all right, let's do this.
Yeah.
And I can do a jab cross really good.
But not kung fu black belt style.
But not kung fu black belt style.
Yeah.
And when I've got a red belt teaching me, I'm like, respect. Like, I'm going to learn from you now. Show me.
Yeah.
And I learn.
Yeah.
Get up on your toes a bit more. activate your calves a bit. Oh, this feels a little different. This is not like Taekwondo style. This is a little bit different.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you learn more things.
Yeah, that's right.
And then you develop and you develop and you go out of there and you're like, all right, well, I got up to this belt there. You go into another school. Nope, you're level one again.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got all these experience. Nope, level one, let's do it. All right, how do we do this? And it's just rinse and repeat. It's one of the best things to go and just like get you re-squared.
I think we spoke about this a while ago, but I think it's important to do that kind of task and surround yourself with another professional in something that's completely different to what you do, just so you can kind of check yourself at the door.
Yeah.
I think it's a great ego check to just do and learn something different. And there's nothing wrong with going, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But I'm just about to learn right now.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are afraid of that. And well, I think for whatever reason, they just don't like the challenge.
Well, a lot of people are either accomplished or they've achieved certain things in their life. But to go back and step back, you've got to actually leave a lot of that behind.
Yeah.
You got to leave your degrees and certificates on the wall.
Yeah.
Walk into a room and that's not your identity anymore. Because for a lot of people, they walk around with their degree on their back. It's like, this is who I am. This is what I've accomplished. This is my salary. This is my corporate position. But when you walk into somewhere new and it's like, but that doesn't matter here.
That's right.
I reckon it'd be the same in the army.
It is, actually.
And I'd be super curious to speak to some army people about it because like a lot of these people who are in the army, say for example, the reserves.
Yeah.
It's like corporate people who are accomplished in this area of life. But all of a sudden, when you join the army, you're put into a unit and whether it's PT time, like get up early time, prepare your gear time, whatever it is that they do, go on the training, their initial officer stuff. To me, that would be very humbling because you have to trust the person who's guiding you and all your other experience. Yes, it's valuable. You can help bring it.
Yeah.
But you really need to listen to who's talking to you in front of you 100%. So they can keep you alive.
100%.
And not doing that, I'm sure they'd check you real quick. It's like...
Oh, super quick.
And it'd be, to me, that is like... That'd be super...
I think they thrive on that as well, knowing that you're that guy.
To me, that's exciting though. Like, to be in a group and be like... And someone's like, listen, fuckface, you're no one here. You're no one. You're a number. This is your uniform. Shut the fuck up and look at the target and don't talk.
Yeah.
Pick up your shovel and dig. Yeah. I didn't ask you to look. Why are you blinking? Oh, you're a surgeon on the weekend. Oh, you're a lawyer. You're no one here. Dig the fucking hole. Like, it's like,
it's really good for you.
I reckon it'd be really good for someone.
I think so.
Like super humiliating.
I agree.
Humbling, sorry.
It's super humiliating.
It would be humiliating for some.
Well, it would be.
But humbling. You know what I'm trying to say?
No, I agree with you, man. I think it's, not many people could do it. And that's probably an extreme example because, you know, the army is like, you know, fairly extreme when it comes to their fitness and just the type of stuff, the training that they do. There's other ways to get that kind of kick, but that would be the ultimate recheck.
Yeah.
That'd be the ultimate, I don't give a shit if you're whatever you are, whoever you are, just do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and 100%, I agree.
I think it's a good way if people put themselves in that situation, doesn't matter what it is, doesn't make it be army, they can go on, I don't know, learn a new skill in a college or a TAFE or a university or whatever it is, academic, some sort of a setting, or do a career shift where they've spent all this time doing one career and then all of a sudden they want to change it, like completely change. Like,
sometimes they don't even want to change it, they just want to just cross skill.
Yeah, but even something as dramatic as being like, I often wake up in the morning, I'll be like, man, I wonder what it'd be like to like completely shift careers. I mean, like completely, something not even related.
Yeah.
Like completely different.
There are heaps of people that have done that.
You know? And the only thing that holds me back is semantics?
Yeah.
Where it's like to go back and start at square one in a completely other field means I might need to cut my salary by a third, like into a third.
Yeah, that makes it even harder.
That's a different experience because I can't financially do that for my family.
Yeah.
But if I was in a position where I was able to literally just like not worry.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
Then.
But that kind of removes.
It would be a super interesting thing.
That removes a certain aspect of it though as well.
I know it does too, but when you've got to feed kids and you got three kids, you actually, and you know that the school fees are going to come out of your bank account. Yeah. It's very different to be going, well, I'm gonna get my skin thick now.
I've probably off the top of my head, I know two people that have done that and they've literally gone, you know what? I don't like what I'm doing now or I'm over it. And they go to their partner and they say, okay, you're now technically the breadwinner.
Yeah.
I'm going to be essentially doing your role now for the next 3 or 4 years whilst I complete this apprenticeship or degree, whatever it might be. And people legitimately do it and they eat dirt for 4 years.
No, I know, of course. It pays dividends after it.
Yeah. And like they just do essentially a role reversal with their partner.
That's right.
And that is massive on its own. Of course. Just the fact that you're like, there's this whole kind of like, I'm the breadwinner, blah, blah, blah. But that is ego checking as well. Yeah. Like, saying that, you know, now I do the school pickup and the drop offs and I'm studying and how's study going? Yeah, it's great. It's just a full restart. It's a full restart.
Yeah.
But I reckon ultimately, the most sweetest is when you can say, yeah, I used to do this. I've now done this. I've completed it and I've gone back and I've done a role reversal and I'm in this new industry and I've done the time and I'm now doing it.
Yeah. And I think in situations like that, it would require a very good support network, good supporting partner that is able to support you in that regard, is willing to park their life and what they're interested in or change their life to accommodate for you. I think
just
that
also believing
helps.
You as well. Believing in your partner
as well. Yeah,
of course.
Like that's very important. But yeah, look, I think, you know, if people can do that and do that more, I think it would go a long way in developing that thick skin and toughening them up a little bit more.
100%.
And not only that, just gets you a lot more experience in lots of different things here. I mean, some people actually like doing the same thing for, like, you know, their entire life. They're happy to just do, like, you know, whatever it is, the task that they do or job that they do, they're happy to keep doing it all the time. But for other people that feel like they need that shake up, sometimes it's good. I think also if, you know, for parents out there where their kids, for example, might also need a little bit of a push, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, because some kids are, and if they're naturally introverted, I get it. I don't think we should change their personality.
Yeah.
But the whole, you know, coming out of the shell kind of thing, the not being unconfident, like if they need more confidence or if they're a little bit too shy, going and giving them something where they might have to be stretched a little bit, mm-hmm. but you know, on the outside as a parent, you can still keep it somewhat, you know, safe to an extent.
Yeah.
That helps develop that, and you know, for the kid even or for the teenager, and putting them in an uncomfortable situation where they've got to grow as well.
Of course,
I think that's also important.
1,000%, 100%, 100,000%, whatever.
That's a big ass percentage.
No, it's true though. Yeah. You've hit some nails on the head today. That's for sure. You gave some good analogies.
100%. Well, I was inspired after this morning's you know, situation, as we can say, we'll call it a situation. I witnessed some human weakness. humans not being their best. They weren't performing their greatest. But you know, hopefully, this very educational episode
will
has
put
helped
people into the
inspire
perspective
people
to just like
not be a bunch of pussy. No,
get down and give me 20, bitch. Nah, it's true.
Climb that goddamn mountain.
It's just like, before you're going to do something like that, just take like 3 or 4 deep breaths and analyze the ramifications just for a little bit. And just kind of, if it really sits well with you, then if that's just your personality, then I feel sorry for you. But I think most people, if they were to just really think about it, because they obviously went and done it out of spite.
I'm not talking about the players themselves. This has nothing to do with the other team's players.
This is probably like a parent or something.
This is like parents or...
That's what I'm saying.
Parents,
if you're a parent.
Or
I'm talking about the parent.
Coaches or something of other teams. The kids all played with heart.
Yeah, I'm talking about the adults. Like, just have a good go. Okay, so if I'm going to... If I run through the motions, I'm going to go up to the person. I'm going to say this. They're potentially going to say this. And the outcome's going to then be this. How's everyone going to feel about it? If you then feel like you've done the right thing, then again, I feel sorry for you. But more than likely, 9 out of 10 people will be like, yeah, nah, fuck, we lost.
Yeah, but they're probably the same people that go and get like, you know, go and order a frozen Coke from like a takeout place and it's got like a centimeter short from the top and like, well, the one you just gave that other person was full, but mine's not full. That's not fair.
Fucking whinges.
The same people that just fucking whinge over shit like that. Do you know what I mean?
I know, man.
It's the same shit. It's like people just like not being tough enough. Like, just have a cup of concrete. You know one of the funny... I'll never forget this. Someone said, have a cup of concrete.
Yeah.
Like, toughen up.
Like, and sometimes you have a bit of a feeling just, for yourself, soft moment. Everyone has it.
It's okay to be soft. It's okay to have a vulnerability moment. Be aware
that you've just had a soft moment.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the extreme side of things where... Not even extreme. Just like, every now and then, you just need to toughen up.
Yes.
It's as simple as that.
Get down and give me 20.
You just have to, because life's going to punch you in the face sometimes. And,
smack bang.
And like, you know, touch wood. Like, I feel like I'm starting to go in like this good spot. My life seems to be kind of getting in order. You know, family-wise, health-wise, I'm in like this good role. I've been very gifted and blessed in family and kids and health and everything. But shit, life doesn't, it scares me.
It can sometimes take a nice, good, old-fashioned U-turn.
You know, and I don't like to speak it because I get afraid to speak shit into reality. But like life in general,
but addressing potential fears is part of preparing.
No, I know, for but something like that life as well. Takes its like turns, right?
Yeah,
and just curveballs. And I've had like, you know, in my family, in my own life, I've had a fair share of curveballs. But life does do that to you.
I think it's supposed to.
It's of course it's supposed to, but
sometimes it's supposed to check yourself as well. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes you might be on a roll, and I'm not saying this is you in particular, but you might be in a roll, and then it's a good way for you to go, oh shit, I was on a roll, but I'm not the right roll.
That's right.
You know, so sometimes it happens to you, and it seems bad at the time, which feels really, really bad, but it's only for like literally a split second, which kind of gets you onto the real right track.
Yeah. Sometimes it's as simple as getting your reality check so you can actually be present more.
Yeah.
Like 2020 has been a very interesting year, and I know a lot of people struggled through the times of quarantine and not being able to go out of the house and this and that, but it forced... And it will forever stay in my mind as one of the greatest times of my life.
Yeah, I know you've said it before.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. And I'll be like, when I'm 80 years old, 90 years old, God willing, I live that long.
Yeah.
And I'm speaking to my great-great-grandkids and like, oh, did you live through the global pandemic time? I'm like, well, yes, I did, son.
It's yes, like, I did and I enjoyed every single
And I'll be like, you know what? It was one of the greatest times of my life.
Yeah.
Just to be, and be like, but why? It's like, because I learned a lesson about being present.
Yeah.
About being in the moment, about watching, like literally being able to watch my wife blink.
Yeah.
Watch my kids dance.
Yeah.
Watch the grass grow.
Yeah.
Feel the sun outside and not look at the clock and know that I'm stuck here in my house and I'm forced to just slow down.
Yeah.
As tough as it is, the rest of the world's slowing down too, so you just have to do it. And it literally taught me to slow down.
Perspective.
And that to me is a valuable lesson I'll carry with me forever. And it was one of the greatest...
I think most people can
agree. And for that, I'd actually say to me personally, as much as there's a lot of different turmoil going on, there's a lot of different cancel culture, this challenge, this view, this problem, this illness worldwide, this and that. Personally, to me, 2020 has probably been one of the best years ever. Because just slowing down and appreciating the good stuff that's actually just come out of it, the good stuff is a lot better than what it would have been, what it could have even been, because I've appreciated it more had it have just been an average year.
I think in general, I say this to Tash all the time, I feel like someone, wherever they are, has just clicked like the reset button.
Yeah.
And it's just... I don't know whether it's reset and recalibrated or it's just reset and then everyone's just like trying to recalibrate. I think we're in the recalibrating motion. I think that's probably been the best. I think it's an overall blessing for everyone.
I think so. And I think if people can look at it from that,
It takes a while for a lot of people. It's been a hard time for a lot of people.
100%. I'm not even going to question that. But there's a lot of people. But
the whole process is allowing them to think.
Yeah.
Which most people don't have the time to do because we just live in this world where it's just everything's a million miles an hour.
Yeah.
And it gives you the opportunity to sit and think. Like you said, sit outside, absorb your emotions, watch the grass grow, feel the sun pressing against your face. All that kind of stuff. Things it's a form of being grounded as well.
Things that
I often will walk in the backyard on a weekend because I'm just so like work, and I'll walk out there even if it's winter barefoot.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like I want to feel the grass on my feet. You know what I mean. I want to walk out onto my like my outdoor area and feel like just
alive because it's cold there.
Yeah, it's cold. There's like dusty patches. There's wet pat. Like, you know what I mean? You want to feel stuff. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I think this
it's forced people. This is back to the message I had originally put down. It's forced people to experience things through time.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
100%.
We now are forced to experience time. And
whether you like it or not.
Yeah. And it's during that time that you will grow, get grounded, extract, whatever it is. 100%. That's what I think. Man, I don't know. We kind of came in these podcasts and I was having a little bit of a rave and a rant about, you know, the original thing. I'm over it now. It's all good.
You're good?
I love the other team. I thank you for giving me the experience today.
Maybe you've just misinterpreted.
I don't need to forgive you because there's nothing to forgive you for. I feel really good about it.
Maybe you just misinterpreted their action. Maybe giving him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they were just accidentally did the wrong thing, said the wrong thing.
Maybe. It's okay. It doesn't matter.
Because
it's been a great show. We took it on a journey. Didn't really know where it was going to go 100%. Kind of touched on a few things.
I just remember a story I was supposed to tell you last night. Quick time for a story.
Yeah, 100%.
Talking about misinterpreting situation. So a colleague of mine in the clinic, this was yesterday morning.
Yeah.
Like in the hallway, he's got like his room across from mine, but like it's kind of like not directly across. It's like kind of like, this is the right way. Is that perpendicular? Is that right? I'm not sure if that's the right term. Okay. Anyways, it's kind of like off-centered. We're not like, we're diagonal. Across the hallway from each other, but diagonal. Like diagonal. I don't know where I got perpendicular from. Anyways, and we're just chatting away and I was like feeling in a real kind of like, you know, jovial mood, and I said to him, I said, hey dude, I said, do you bring lunch today? And he goes, nah man, what did you have in mind? I said, there's this bakery that we often will kind of Uber Eats.
Yeah.
And it's this bakery in Sydenham called Ho's Bakery.
Yeah.
Okay. It's called Ho's Bakery. And they make some good Vietnamese rolls and it's just real good hearty type meals.
Yeah.
So I shout out to him and said, hey man, if you had lunch, do you got lunch? He's like, nah, I don't. What did you have in mind? I said, hey, do you want to grab some hose? And he, and he goes, and then we just started kind of joking around going, yeah, love them hose. And he's like, yeah, let's grab some hose. I was like, oh, cool, we'll grab some hose. And we both walk out into the hallway at exactly the same time.
Yeah.
And there's someone waiting
in the,
in the clinic room. Now, normally when someone walks into the room, I hear everything. I'm like a ninja, right? I hear everything coming in and out of that door. But for whatever reason, I was like, get some hoes. I was doing all that kind of stuff. I was just talking like an idiot. And we were just laughing back and forth.
Just fun
workplace banter. And then this lady is sitting there and we're not in an area where we get walk-ins, so to speak. And this lady was a walk-in. She walked in and she wanted to just find out information about the clinic. And then she's like, and I was like, oh hi. You've been there for a while? She's like, oh, you know, like a minute or two. And I was in my back of my mind, I'm thinking, oh, fuck. I was like, shit. And I'm like, okay, how can I help you? And she's like, I'm after the principal of the practice. And before she could say Dan, I was like, oh, that's me. I'm like, yeah, that's me. She's like, oh yeah, Dan. She's like, cool. She's like, oh, I've been meaning to come down for a while, and you know, just read some of your reviews, they're really good, da da da. And the conversation went pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay. She was a really nice lady. She made an appointment. I said, like, you know, we'll see you when we see you. But I got this overwhelming, like, if we're kind of going back to the whole cancel culture thing, I got this, like, wave over me. And I'm like, 2 minutes ago, I was like, get some hoes. I was doing all that kind of stuff. And then I was like, sorry, look, I feel like I need to explain
what the conversation was before.
She's like, no, that's fine. And I said, no, it's not fine. I need to explain myself. And she goes, oh, it's up to you. I said, look, it's normally on a Friday in the clinic, I shout the staff, like, you know, Uber Eats, and we get whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And there's this bakery in Sydenham called. And before I could say called, she goes, oh, Ho's Bakery. And I'm like, yeah, you know about it. And she's like, yeah, I used to live in Tempe, and my husband would get Ho's Bakery. And I was like, oh, cool, so you know about it. She's like, oh, yeah, now that you say it like that, I get it. I was like, oh, okay, cool. It's like, what are you grabbing? And I was like, I said, the pork, egg, and she's like, oh, the pork, egg, and rice. I was like, yeah. It's like, so a situation went from like, get some hoes and all that kind of stuff to like, oh, we're good. She made an appointment. Yeah, it was good. So sometimes situations can seem a bit hairy, and it's good to explain yourself. So
good to be transparent.
But it was just funny. We just both walked out at exactly the same time. All we needed to do was do like this, like, blokey high five, like, get some hoes, you know. And it was just like, oh, I was like, and he just like sheepishly just goes back into his room. I'm like, seriously, dude, you let me like handle this by myself. I'm like, okay, fair enough. So, yeah, I forgot to... I remember I was going to tell you that story, but, yeah.
That's a good story to wrap it up on.
Get some hoes.
I liked it.
Honestly, I'll show you some Ho's Bakery.
I love some good Vietnamese rolls,
But they do seem it's not fancy, you know? Like, it doesn't look fancy, but damn, yeah, it tastes good.
Yeah, I know. They're really good. I've got one place close to my office, and we've got, like, a crunchy... They do a crunchy pork roll. A crispy pork roll.
Yeah.
Vietnamese roll.
Uh-huh.
And the roll comes out nice and hot, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's some good hoes.
All right. On that note, guys, I hope you've all enjoyed the show. This is episode 51. Like always, reach out, journeytowherever.com, and we would appreciate any kind of feedback.
Yep. And for all the new listeners, because I've seen a bit of a spike in the last 2 weeks, welcome to the fam. It's really good to hear you.
Welcome to the family.
It's true, though. Welcome to the fam. I see him as a fam. So welcome.
Welcome.
Good to have you along for the journey.
Hop on board.
Alrighty. Well, on that note, have a good week, everyone, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Peace out. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah, that was pretty funny.
That was pretty good. That was a good story. I like that.
It was very much like Hollywood. You could almost say that's like a scripted story.
Yeah.
It's just the way it kind of happened. It was like, Friday morning's always a cool. Everyone's like, oh, can we get this? Can we do this? I'm like, yeah, let's do that. And it was just us two on that day. And we're just like, let's just get some hoes. It's just so bad. I was like, oh, this couldn't go anywhere. So she just could go bad. I was just like,
no, I was lucky that she understood where it was from.
Hopefully, I'm glad she had gone through all the reviews. So it's like, it probably didn't match up to what she read, kind of thing. Hopefully.
Don't worry. Once they start to find out how good your skill, well, obviously they're coming there because they got the reviews, but once they feel your Matrix hands doing their magical work that they do for treatment, they'll be hooked.
You're making me blush, man. You're making me blush.
You're good at what you do, man.
All right.
All right, let's go.
Let's go.
Laters, bye.
Bye.